There's a couple of prayers I just want to say. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Sri Bhashabhanavi Devi, Dayataya Kripa Daye, Krishna Sambandha Vijnana, Dhyane Prabhave Namaha, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Sachidananda Namane, Gaura Shakti Swarupaya, Rupa Nugavarayate. This is a line from prayer by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Jaya Jaya Harinam Chiradam Chiranam Dam Rita Dham Parat Tatra Akshara Akara Rita Jani Kripa Kari Nami Rupa Avatari Jive Doya Kari Apar Ichai Gosai Kori Chananan Vandan Yanohoiti Vignash Avishta Puran. I offer pranams to my godbrothers here, Pujapad Srila Danodar Maharaj. He's one of my senior godbrother and sannyasi, and he's been living in Vrindavan for 30 years, serving Gurukul, and now he's serving humanity by preaching Krishna consciousness. And he's written a very beautiful book. He's working other books, but he wrote a book called Ways of Devotion, which is an analysis of Srila Prabhupada's nectar devotion, and actually helps us understand Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you get a little confused, as anyone can admit. And if any of you have listened to our Nectar Devotion tape, MP3 tape, I've stolen the information, most of the information I've spoken on the tape has come from Damodar Swami and Bhan Maharaj and others. So we're very fortunate to be blessed with his Darshan Association. So, the way I've approached this class, I've tried to study this book a little bit, and I've heard some classes on this book by sannyasis from Gaudiya Math, and I'm not really very well conversant with the subject, but because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he was here, this was the method of bhajan in the Gaudiya Math. For 1 month, they would withdraw from all their active preaching, and they would sit together in the temples of the Gaudiya Math, and they would go through Bhajan Rahasyam, which is it's the bhava of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. As he was studying deep, as he was chanting and absorbing Astakalya Smaran as a Madhurya Bhakta, and then he was thinking of Shikshastakam, he was thinking of the conditioned souls, he was thinking of the Maha Mantra, he was thinking of Srimati Radhika and her service, and how to put all this together into a systematic package by which devotees could follow and actually make advancement in Krishna Bhakti and come to the point of realizing their Swarup. And this is a great blessing of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Sri Bhajan Rahasyam. So, you'll see, even to this day, different Gaudiya Maths, like Bhakti Vallabha Tirtha Maharaj and others, they always speak, every Kartik, they speak on Bhajan Rahasyam, and they meditate and sing songs about the pastimes, Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna. And is there a method? Maybe the men can move, some of the men can move forward. Maharaj, you can just stay there, it's okay.
Russian, you will
become a Acha. Yeah. So I should move back, that would be a good start.
Mostly Nataji. Thank you, maybe
So you come over here and give him that pole. You come over here and the Maharaj uses his pole. You come over here? Yeah, well, that's the name of Russia, and that ISKCON is Ruskan, isn't it? That's the second name of ISKCON is Ruskan. Because so many Russians. So we're. It's alright. There's no mat for you to sit on. There's some asans there.
No.
Just sit here. You can sit right here. It's very nice.
don't want to sit on my feet. Who's good? Get me warm.
Hare Krishna. At any rate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to give us the secrets, the rahasya of his bhajan. And this book was written as a sequel to Harinam Chintamani. It was published in 1902. I think, I don't remember when Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world. 1904, do you remember, Marge? What? 1907. So this is 1902. In the last 4 years of his life, I understand he was in Samadhi, in his Bhajan Kuti, Bhakti Kuti, in Puri, Jagannath Puri. So that means from 1903 to 1907, he was not doing any writing, he was absorbed in Samadhi. So we can, looking at it this way, we can, because I was told that this was the last book that he wrote. And usually the last thing that someone writes, they want to give the essence, the full teachings. You can come up here and sit down. Up here. Please invite them to come and sit. And Prakash, you can come.
If I keep moving, I'll merge in the Leela, and that's kind of like what it's all about anyway. So.
We wouldn't really like to merge with the Leela, so maybe if we can become thin enough, we can merge with the thinness of this paper. But anyway, so this is Bhajan Rahasyam. This is the last gift of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to all of us. As everyone knows, he wrote over 100 books. Prasad? You can come here. See. Oh, this is not so good. Camera should come. Bring the camera in the front. And so, otherwise, it's ridiculous. Everybody's... Bring the camera... Excuse me, we're just getting adjusted. We're a little... Yeah. Hare Krishna. Age. Yeah, she should be on her chairs inside. Bring her the chair. Thank you. She should.
She's got connection back to the school.
Yeah, she's a little bit far away. Yeah. She should be here.
Yeah,
so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is his final gift to all of us, the Bhajan Rahasyam, the secrets of Bhajan, how to realize our Sarup, how to enter into the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. And being a Manjari of Radharani, Kamala Manjari, he's very much specifically revealing a secret, how to attain the eternal service of Srimati Radharani. It's a very wonderful book. It's an analysis of Shikshastakam. So the way, what we've done is we've collected some notes, and the way this class will be presented, it's really not very dynamic and not very, certainly not realized, but in a faithful mood, there's a dress for her in the kitchen. Someone knows where the dress is. And they'll put her dress on. And they put her here. So in the faithful mood of following our predecessor acharyas, we're trying to speak on Bhajan Rahasyam for the first time in Kartik. So I'm very appreciative that devotees have collected here under the shadow of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lotus feet, and we're all eager to receive his mercy. And we're also very eager to realize something about our eternal relationship with Krishna and Radharani. So what I will do, I will read from my notes, and which I've collected from here and there, and then we can have some discussion on those. So it's like this. This is and then we have the verses. We're going to spend 4 days on each of the Shikshastakam verses. So the classes will run for about 32 days or so. On Purnima, on the 17th, there's a lunar eclipse. So after a bit, 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning, we shouldn't do any puja. We should finish our puja. We should finish our puja by 6 in the morning on the 17th, which is Monday. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. We should finish our puja by 7 o'clock and then and put our deities to rest, our shalagrams and girirajas or whomever. And there should be a piece of kusha grass lying on top of the deity or on the touching the deity on the deity's feet or on the top of the shalagrama Govardhan. This is the teachings of Hari Bhakti Vilas, what's done during a grahan, an eclipse. And it lasts for 12 hours. It's called there's a name for it in Hindi, I can't remember, something like Ashur, not exactly Ashur, or Atsut or something, period, for 12 hours when Rahu is actually approaching the sun or the moon. And at that time, the sun and the moon, they become very disturbed and they become frightened. And it's told that during eclipse time, it's very easy for one to attain mantra siddhi. There's something called Purushchayan Brat, which all of our acharyas have done. It's a very difficult brat to do, especially in Kali Yuga. But it's told in Hari Bhakti Vilas that if someone can follow this eclipse time nicely, he can get the benefit of 6 months Purushchayan. And we will discuss that in a couple of days. On that day we won't have class because it's not so good to travel. And the actual eclipse time is usually around, it's only a muhurta, 48 minutes when he's in the mouth. The sun or moon is in the mouth of Rahu, about 48 minutes. But on that day it's between 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening. But 3 hours before, and then the moksha time, when actually he comes out, according to the calculation, is at 9 p.m. So what they usually say is, before the actual eclipse starts, if you sit on a kusa grass mat facing east and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is a Prem Datta Mantra, it gives Prem, and only Prem, if that's what you want. Otherwise Bhukti and Mukti are also there. But these other mantras, Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri, they give many siddhis. And in many of these Bhagavat Pracharaks, these Brahmins that are famous speakers, they take advantage of this eclipse times. And they chant mantra. We can discuss privately more details, because especially sannyasis and vairagis do these type of things. But and in general information, before the actual eclipse time, in other words, for 3 or 4 hours before the eclipse, if you can sit in one place and chant the Maha Mantra, what the philosophy behind it is this, is that the planet, the moon and the sun, which are subjected to eclipses, they're actually expansions of Bhagavan, of Krishna. And when someone's in trouble, if someone's in trouble and you go and help them, then that person who's in trouble will feel very grateful and indebted for your help. As our Bhaktivinoda said, I want to spend my last days of bhajan at Kurukshetra. Our Sridhar Maharaj revealed that to us. And so one questions, why that? Why would you want to spend your last days of life in bhajan at Kurukshetra? Because service is judged by its necessity. So when the necessity is great, that's the service which is rendered at that time of need is greatly appreciated. If you're in a desert about to die from thirst and a man drops in suddenly out of nowhere with a helicopter giving you water, then you really need water, and that service of giving you water, Jal Seva, is much appreciated. It's life-saving. So when Radharani is at Kurukshetra meeting Krishna, she sees but she can't touch. She tastes but she can't swallow. It's like this. So he wants to spend his bhajan there. So Surya and Chandra, at the time of the eclipse, they're trembling. they're feeling some difficulty from Rahu, because Rahu is very powerful. So that time of need or necessity, if we call out, Hey Bhagavan, Prem Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Janavara, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we're helping him. He feels, oh, I have friends out there, someone loves me, someone's glorifying me, someone's calling out my name. Who is that? I will give you so many blessings. So generally, during eclipse, there's two things. One should, he should be contacting water. He should be standing in water, or have his feet in water if it's winter, and sitting on the banks if you're old and have arthritis or whatever. But your body should be in contact with water. It's like electricity. If you're a swimming pool, if you take a wire, electric wire, plug it in the wall and put it in your swimming pool, what happens to the swimming pool? The water turns into fire. Interesting transmutation of elements. Water becomes fire. There's water in the swimming pool, but when you put electric wires in there, then that turns into electricity. Electricity is the fire element, isn't it? So if you put your feet inside that swimming pool, what happens? Zap. You get electrocuted. Right? Everyone understands that? It's called the conduction of electricity. Electricity is carried. An electric wire, you plug it in the wall and you put it inside a swimming pool, electricity comes. So when he's in trouble and you put your feet in the water, when your body is contacting the water, then the mercy comes through the water, because the sun and the moon, they reflect on water. The sun and the moon reflect on the water. And so that's the medium for receiving their mercy. So if you're observant, you'll see, if you ever go to Yamuna, which we had opportunity, we've known these things for some time. If anyone goes to the Yamuna or Manasi Ganga, Govindakund, especially Radhakund, during lunar eclipse times, you'll see many, many very serious sadhus doing something. Their heads are covered, which is one of the neons. Heads should be covered with something, cloth. And then they're chanting some mantra, standing in the water, for 3 or 4 hours. Usually it's about a 4 hour time. If the eclipse is 5 to 6, then at 4 o'clock, 1 hour before, you would go in and you stay till the end, the moksha. Moksha, this is 9 o'clock at night. So you stay in the water and for 4 hours and chant whatever number of japa you can do, so many rounds. Say 4 hours maybe, say 32 rounds, 4 hours. Standing, or if you get tired, sitting, but always body connected with water. Feet, usually up to navel is the point. And then after that you go to your, and always moan and fasting. It's not so easy, but moan and fasting. Moan, no speaking, and no drinking or eating from early morning, like this. Go in the water, chant mantra. Then you come out and sit on kusa grass, asan. And then the half number of rounds, whatever rounds you chanted in the water, half of that you should do on the asan without getting up. So if you did 32 rounds, then you sit in asan, facing east, head covered, mala covered, and chant maha mantra with your particular bath and dhyan, meditation and bath. And it's explained Hari Bhakti Vilas by observing this, which is not so difficult. You'll get the benefit of 6 months Purush Charan. A Purush Charan Brata, to follow a Purush Charan Brata for 6 months, you cannot see the face of a woman. For 6 months, you cannot see the light of the sun. For 6 months, you have to drink the Charanamrita from a Brahmin every day. Laga, laga, laga. So more and more neons. So this is rather difficult. People do that. They still do. They sometimes do 40 days Purush Charan. Minimum is 1 month. But by observing eclipse like this, it takes some time. You do one and two, like anything. You do an Ekadasi Brat, and then you, this slipped up or that slipped up. Anything, like Japa, when we first started, we didn't know anything. And after a few years, we get it, so-called, quote, get it down. We get some understanding of what we're, you're supposed to employ your mind also? I thought you said Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Fingers and mouth and ears. Oh, mind also? Oh, okay. Let me try putting my mind into it. Oh, heart also? Oh, mind and heart? Ocha. Oh, and feelings? And hankering? And ashramanda? And also mind? Oh. So like this, our japa improves more and more. So in any type of endeavor, practice makes perfect. So this is a great boon that Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami have revealed in pages of Hari Bhakti Vilas. And when Mars comes so close to the Earth as it is now, it hasn't been so close in 60,000 years, it creates lots of eclipses. So sadhakas that are interested in Siddhi, and our Siddhi is Prem Siddhi, we want the Prem Seva, we want the, you know, the Palidasi Bhav of Radharani, we very much want this, and this is our birthright. Being born as into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is our birthright to attain Gopi Bhav and the eternal service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This is our aspiration, this is our cherished goal. And so people that are interested in Siddhi, like us, Prem Siddhi, they look forward to these days. Just like the new Bhakti looks forward to the feast days. Oh, Janmasmi's coming, oh, big feast. Or, oh, Gurudev, oh, it's so-and-so Gurudev's appearance there, oh, usually he has a big feast. Every year his disciples have big feast, bigger than Janmasmi. Oh, I'm looking forward, Prabhu, it's so many, this, that. So for those that are Saragrahi, the Saragrahi, they're looking for the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is the Prem Seva of Radharani. They look forward to Kartik Vrata, isn't it? We may be anywhere, in New York preaching, or Kartik, like homing pigeons, Kartik, I must go to Vrindavan. Going to Vrindavan means I must go to Radharani. Going to Radharani means I must go to the lotus feet. Because it's such a wonderful month. It's Radharani's month. We were hearing the glories last night of the Kartik. So this is the, so we look forward to these days, like these grahans. And so I've given you pretty much about 85% description of what to do. If going in the water is difficult, then you sit in asan from 4 o'clock in the evening till 9 p.m. and chant. And if you do 2 or 3 or 4 of these vratas, you'll see tremendous things happen. Tremendous things. Because when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, Chandra is very happy. Chandra Dev is very happy. Of course, ultimately, Chandra Dev, the moon god, is Krishna. And Surya Dev is also Krishna. And Surya Bhagavan is residing there. And he's also Chandra, the Chandra Vamsha. Krishna is born in a Chandra Vamsha. So when Chandra Dev, he very much likes the devotees. One of the niyams for Kartik month is to offer water to the moon. Why do we offer water to the moon? Are we lunatics? It'd be nice if we were lunatics. I mean, crazy for Krishna. Prabhupada would say we should become crazy for Krishna. But we offer water to the moon because we are in his dynasty. We are in Achyuta Gotra. Or at least we're, let's say, we meaning me, myself, we are aspiring to enter the Achyuta Gotra. So, hey Chandra Dev, hey Bhagavan Chandra, please accept this tarpan, please accept this Radha Kunjal. I'm bathing in the evening, I'm offering this water to you. Please, may I enter your family? Because you have a very illustrious family. There's a very beautiful boy in your family that I'm very interested in. Do you know who I'm speaking about? And Chandra says, yes, I think I know that boy. Isn't his name Ghanashyam? Isn't his name Damodar or Govinda? Yes, that's the boy. Oh yes, he's in my family. Well, please be kind to me. He's in your family. Can I come in your family? Can you accept me in your family? Hey, Chandra. So this is one of many reasons why we offer water to the moon in Kartik. We're not ritual. We're Bhava Saragrahi. We're looking through the essence of Bhav. This is Krishna's description. This is one of his lakshanas. What is that in the Bhavatam? It's Bhava Janardhan, Grahi Janardhan. What is it? That there's a term. It's in the 10th canto, 87th chapter. What is it? Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Bhava Grahi Janardhan. The Janardhan himself, Krishna himself, he accepts the essence of our Bhav. Like we always say, it's not the service that you render, it's not what you do, it's how you do it that counts. It's not that, oh, I serve prasadam to the devotees, oh, that's Pada Sevanam, it's Vaishnava Seva. But But how did you do it? Did you serve your heart to their heart through the medium of the prasad? Or did you just bop, bop? So this is, because Krishna's looking, he's not looking, as he says in Gita, yame bhakti prayachati. He's not, I'm not looking for fruit and leaves and flowers, I'm looking for bhav. Right? I'm looking for praying. Anyway, because I'm kind of a crazy personality, I'm very much interested in tapasya. It's my godbrothers know I'm kind of a freak about tapasya. But not meaningless tapasya, although I was doing meaningless tapasya before as a animal. And then Prabhupada tried to put legs on me and take my tail off and turn me into a human being. But I still have the proclivity to engage in austerity, but now at least it's related to Bhakti Bhajan, or Bhakti Bhajan Abbas. So this is an extremely tasty and inviting and exciting austerity to stand in the water up to your navel and chant secret mantras at night. And then during an eclipse, it's very romantic and exciting. And there's no moon, and all of a sudden the moon will come out of the eclipse and you'll see it shining brightly in its fullness. It's Purnima, and it's not any Purnima, it's Rasa Purnima. So you can expect some very delicious results from this standing in Radhakund on Rasa Purnima. Kanyat, hey Radhe, Vrajadevi Kechavalite, hey Nanda Sima Kuta. She go vard on a kalpa para patre kalindi vanya kutaha. Go shanta vati sarvato bajapure kedar mahavivalo. Hey Radhe, hey Krishna. That's what we're chanting, right? Hey Radhe, hey Krishna. Hey Radhe, hey Krishna. I'm here. I'm standing in you. Not around you. This is your Prince Sarup. But somehow a desert has fallen, a meteorite has fallen into your kund. A meteorite is like a big, like a volcanic rock or something. A meteorite, a big rock flying through space. So this meteorite has landed into the sacred sweet waters of Radhakund, and then he's mumbling some mantras, praying for mercy. Kripa karo, daya moi, kripa daya moi. So we will, and so you understand that this class will be, we'll begin the class. I'll read from my notes. If anyone wants to ask any question, they can. So I will, with your permission, I will start. I mentioned already that Bhajan Rahasyam was printed in 1902 as a supplement to Harinam Chintamani. Harinam Chintamani was written to bring us to the point of anartha-nivritti, come to the point of nishta, and come to the point of ruchi. But how to go from ruchi to asakti to bhava to prema, then that's a secret. That's a secret. We can get taste by doing vaidhi sadhana. But to go further, we have to go raganuga sadhana, then bhava bhakti, then prema bhakti. And that's a secret. And the secret of how to progress from ruchi to asakti, bhava and prema, that is in the hearts of the pure devotees like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and all of your beloved Gurudevs and mentors. So that's why he published, this is the sequel. I gave you Harinam Chintamani, this will bring you to ruchi. Now to go from ruchi to prema and sarup siddhi, siddhadeya, prapti, to realize your siddhadeya, this is a secret. But you've all been very good. You've been a very good audience. I gave you this book in 1900, and I've been watching for 2 years. Okay, you're ready. And I'm also ready to leave this world, so I want to give you my secrets. So then he wrote the sequel to Harinam Chintamani, Bhajan Rahasyam, in 1902. In 1903, as far as we could calculate before some of you came here, in 1903, our beloved Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered into Samadhi in the Bhakti Kuti in Jagannath Puri, right next to Haridas Thakur, Thakur Samadhi, exactly right next, only 5 meters away. He's just like shoulder to shoulder with Haridas Thakur. So he writes Hari Namjan Tamani, which is the teachings of Haridas Thakur. Then he writes Bhajan Rahasyam, which is the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the secret heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then he says, okay, I've given you Haridas Thakur's Shiksha, Hari Namjan Tamani. I've given you my heart, Bhajan Rahasyam. Now I'm going into Samadhi as Kamala Manjari and into Radharani's eternal service. So in 1903, he shut himself up in his kuti, and for 4 years he was in Samadhi. He didn't write any more books. He didn't come out. He went back to Godhead. And that's the ISKCON center in Puri, is built on top of, literally, on top of the Bhakti Kuti of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Probably you've seen the original structure and can cry along with the rest of us. With anyone else who happened to see it was the actual Bhajan Kuti, because the building was about 100 years old or 50 years old, and Haribol, Hare Krishna. Just like Ganadhar, you know, he's in Ganadhar Swami Maharaj, he can remember his feet especially, his feet can remember walking on the beautiful soft sands of Raman Reti Parikrama Trail. So many days he would take a breather from the Gurukul and walk on those beautiful sandy paths by the Gurukul and collect his thoughts and chant the holy name and try to gather strength to go on with a rather insane service of teaching, you know, monsters how to be Hare Krishna. Someone said, oh, you know, you've done a few services in ISKCON. Would you like to be a Gurukul teacher? I said, no, don't say, leave a Gurukul, I don't want... I said, I love children very much. Oh, really? We never see you talk to children. We never see you play with children. I said, yes, I love children when they're asleep. As long as they're asleep, it's fine. So I just don't have that kind of karuna and tolerance and whatever it takes to be a Gurukul teacher. And I pray that I never have Bhajan Rahasyam, the translation of this means the secrets of confidential worship. The book is arranged in 8 chapters corresponding to the 8 verses of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam. Each chapter also represents one pair of the 8 pairs of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, of names, Yuga Nam and Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and the 8 periods of Radha Krishna's daily pastimes, Astakali Lila. So this is an incredible synthesis of the most dynamic aspects of Prema Bhakti. The eight pairs of names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama. That is 8 pairs, 8 times 2 is 16 names. Now there's a synthesis with that and the 9 limbs of Bhakti, Adore Shraddha Tathas Sarasanga Bhajana Kriya, and the Astakali Luna, and the Shikshastakam. And it's all been understood and realized in the heart and mind of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's presented it in Bhajan Rahasyam. And how much we can present of that synthesis, well, let's find out, because we've been meditating and trying to understand for some time. But this is, in other words, he's telling us, with our minds and hearts, we should take a needle and a thread. With our minds and hearts, we should take a needle and a thread, and figure out how to make a garland of these things, of these elements, of these, I don't say elements, but these things or whatever. Lila, mantra, Mahamantra, Shikshastakam, Astakali Lila, and the steps of Bhakti. It's called Navada Bhakti, the 9 limbs of devotion. String all these, each one of these is a flower, and we string this on the garland. And then we wear that, and that's called Bhajan. That's our Bhajan Mala. And because they're all interrelated, they're all complementary, they're all interrelated, they're all helping each other, and they're all nourishing each other. So this is a very dynamic, most dynamic revelation and presentation. Well, you can come and sit here. Why stand? You sit. You just come and sit. You just sit right here. What's the problem? You lean against that pole. This is a South Indian Brahmin. These are both Brahmins. His name is Kirasagar, and his name is Kamakar. So birds of a feather flock together. pure, and they just puja, satyanaya, and homa, and all, you know, the whole full on stuff. He's standing. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to go back to God, and he's trying to send me to, you know, lower regions. So, the nine stages of spiritual perfection, beginning with Shraddha and culminating in Krishna Prema, are also depicted in the eight chapters of Bhajan Rahasyam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this book as a Bhajan manual. It's a Bhajan manual. It's a manual. With the intention that one chapter would be chanted during each of the 3-hour periods of the 24-hour day. In the Gaudiya Math, and the Gaudiya Math that aren't doing, let's say, Braj Mandal Parikrama, if there's, most of them kind of stay in one place because they're scattered all over India, but if they're engaged in Braj Mandal Parikrama, then they will speak every day on Bhajan Rahasya. But those that are actually doing a stationary bhajan, they're not doing yatra or parikrama, they sit for 4 meetings a day, and they go through, and that's the way they've arranged it. I think it's 4 meetings a day, and they go through 2 chapters of Bhajan Rahasyam and through 2 of the Astakali Leelas. Because I was invited once by Bhakti Vallabhatirtha Maharaj to go to Chandigarh to attend a function there, but I said, Maharaj, I can't leave Braj, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. But he invited me. Let me explain a little bit about how it goes, so I got some idea. So this was Bhaktivinoda's intention that it would be Mala, the book Bhajan Rahasyam, and the day, the 24 hours. And so every 3 hours we would read the Bhajan manual. So it would start it starts with chapter 1, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And this is called Nishant Leela. Nishant means the end of Nisha, the end of night, when Radha and Krishna are waking in Nirivan, and very beautiful. So it's the beginning of the day, we get up at 3 o'clock, and at 3:36 this Leela begins. So we're chanting Japa. There's 2 different levels also. It's even more, the system has 2 levels. There's the beginner level and the adept level. There's the Jata Rati Sadaka and Ajata Rati Sadaka. The devotee, of course even Sadaka is a very high thing, but the devotee is practicing and he hasn't awakened his Rati, his Bhav for Krishna, Radha and Krishna. He follows the Bhajan manual on one level. Devotee is on the level of Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti. He follows the Bhajan manual on another level. The beginning devotee, the Ajata Rati, Ajata means Ajamna, that Rati or Bhava is not yet born or awakened, or at least you can say descended or manifested in the heart. So he will follow on one level, but he will hear about the pastimes, the Yastakali Leela, and he will think of them. So he's also included this. There's 2 levels. Because in any gathering of devotees, not everyone is on the same level. There are advanced devotees like this. So it's such a dynamic, you know, presentation of what he's given. Is there any questions? Is it okay? Maharaj?
When you said a chapter, Rati, sometimes it says a chapter, Ruchi. Yeah,
that's...
It specifically means... practicing before Bhav?
Yeah, Ajata Rati. Ajata Rati means before the practice, before one comes to the level of Bhava Bhakti. You know, after Nishtha and after Ruchi and after Asakti, then as you well know, being one of my Shiksha Gurus in this department, it is Rati or Bhav. So before Bhav, when one is on the level of Bhava Bhakti, he will utilize these teachings in a slightly different way, which we'll try to show. And when he's not on the level of Bhava, then he'll follow the teachings of Bhajan Rahasyam in a different way.
So Ajata means before Bhava, it's Ajata.
Ajata Rati Sadaka, before Bhava. Ajata Ruchi, Ruchi is not. That's someone is in Anartha Nivritti and Nishtha. That's a different term. Is that okay? Okay. Anyone else? And this class goes to 5, so please remind me when it's 5, because people have to go to Vrindavan, and it's a very exact thing. So what's the time now, so we have some idea?
I have 4:20.
4:42. Okay. For the followers of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhajan Rahasyam is the main book teaching how to do Nam Bhajan. Anyone who wants to enter the confidential Bhajan and rise to the level of Krishna Prem must study this book. To properly do bhajan, we must follow the conception of the previous acharyas. This Sanskrit term is called vichar dhara. Dhara actually means to hold, dhanodhara. The holding means the line, it means the holding, and vichar means consideration. We must consider the line, consider the holding, consider so this is called, like we say, the Rupa Nuga Dhara. The Rupa Nuga Dhara. What is the line of Rupa Nuga? What is the line of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Mandri? So this is it's called Vichar Dhara. We must consider this line, consider this holding. What is being held here and presented here? So we must follow the conception Vichar of the previous Acharyas. This is called Vichar Dhara. In order to enter the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. Being Rupanuga Vaishnavas, or rather aspiring Rupanuga Vaishnavas, we must follow the Rupanuga Vichar Dhara, the line of conception described by Sri Rupa Goswami to do bhajan. Following Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, and understanding how they feel, how do they think and act, and how do they pass their time. Because this is called anusharan, to take shelter and follow in their footsteps. So how do they pass their time? We know how we pass our time. Because everyone, this is one of the brahms, this is one of the confusions. Sadhana satya tattva brahm. We're confused. What should I chant? Or should I read? Or should I eat prasadam? Or should I watch videos, ITV videos? Or should I go associate with sadhu? What should I do? How should I do bhajan? There's confusion, there's brahm, bewilderment in this matter. So, we have to have some exemplars. We have to have some example to follow. So, who are those exemplars? Who are those teachers? Well, the teachers are our immediate guru, our Diksha Guru, and our benign and benevolent Shiksha Gurus that are supporting us and nourishing us and holding us up and propelling us forward. And it is our predecessor gurus and our dhara, vichar dhara. So how did they chant? How did they meditate? What did they do when they're chanting japa? So this is what is being described here. Especially Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das. How do they feel? Because our feelings are all prakriti bhav. It's all feelings produced from matter. All of our feelings are produced from material, from skin. From skin and rupam and gandha and rasa, from taste and objects and touch. It's not transcendental. So how do transcendental, just like in Gita, Arjuna is asking Krishna, well, how does a transcendentalist, how does he feel? What are his feelings? How does he feel? How does he see the world? What does he do? How does he sit? How does he act? This discussion is there. So, the transcendentalists that we're interested in are the inner circle of Radharani's Manjaris and Sakis. We want to know, how do they feel? Because we want to feel like them. We want to be one of them. We want to wear the prasadi vesh. We want to act like them and think like them and feel like them. Because unless we are like them, and that's why they say it's their rag atmika. Their entire atmika is full of this rag, full of this loving sentiment and attachment. They think, feel, see, touch, everything Radharani's pleasure, her happiness. This is the mandri she's simply made. Her atoms are, her body is made of atoms. What kind of atoms? Prem atoms. Atoms of prem. Prem seva atoms. And every single atom, every single atomic particle of a Manjari's body is simply made to render service and pleasure for Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani. This is a different kind. So if someone has a Manjari Sarup, Rupa Manjari, or Rati Manjari, Balamati, Rati Manjari, I mean, it's full of praying, their sarupa is full of praying atoms. How do they feel? Is what's being said. How do they feel? How do they think? How act? How do they pass their time? So this is, we have to understand this to do bhajan. This can best be accomplished. So how the answer to this, this can best be understood or accomplished by following Bhaktivinoda Thakura's systematic teachings in Bhajan Rahasyam. Because practically speaking, we've often heard this term, at least in our family circle of the Gaudiya Math and ISKCON, this term is used, that Bhaktivinoda Thakura is the seventh Goswami. Because outside of our circle, there are other personalities known as the seventh Goswami and the eighth Goswami. Lokanath Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj. You see, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the eighth Goswami. But in our family circle, everyone I think has heard this term, the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. So our family circle, this is our swabhav and mood. And so let's examine this. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, for us, certainly he's the seventh Goswami, but not only is he the seventh Goswami, but he is the reappearance of a very important Goswami. He is the reappearance of Rupa Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he is presenting Rupa Goswami's teachings in the most palatable, systematic, and simple way. So, we want to be in the line of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari, and we want to be Rupa Nirgadara, but how do we get there? How do we get connected to the line? We need some connection. Well, the immediate connection is our guru, our Dikshan Shiksha Guru. But then, to actually get to know how does Rupa Goswami think? Well, we can understand a little bit from his writings. There's lots of those writings. Hansa Dutta, Alita Madhav, Upadesha Amrita, Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhi, Ujjal Nilmani, so many are there. But he's also a little secretive. Rupa Goswami is also very secretive. As Krishna is not easily conquered. Because if he's conquered, if one surrenders and gives his full love to Krishna, he gives his very self. He envelops your entire heart and takes over your entire being. And merging his heart with your heart or with our hearts. He takes his heart, you captured my heart, take it. Take my heart and live with my heart, live in my heart and live with my heart. So it's not so easy that Krishna will, and so freely Krishna will give that to anyone. So Rupa Goswami, he is a very rupam, he is a very form, or rather, he and she, Rupa Manjari, is a very form of the heart of Srimati Radharani. Sri means the form of the heart of Sri is Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari. That's why it's Sri Rupa. Rupa means the form of the heart of Radharani. So as Krishna is guiding himself and very careful to give his heart to any Tom, Dick, or Harry, to any person, what to speak of Radharani? How much protective she is to give her heart. So Rupa Goswami represents the heart of Srimati Radharani. So Rupa Goswami is not so easily going to give his heart to any follower, so-called Rupa Nuga Vaishnava. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is giving introduction to Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami. Because if we have an introduction, if we want to meet someone important, and we don't have adhikar or qualification to meet them, then we can go through a friend. And we say, oh, I know you, and you know that person, that big person, can you introduce me? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that friend. He is the friend who is introducing us to Rupa Goswami. So by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can understand, how does Rupa Goswami think? How does he feel? How does he act? If any, this is working? Bisley is working? You can check? Because it would be, it's there, we can utilize it. I'll just leave it on at least. Okay, so. Okay. So any questions on this point? It's okay.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
You mentioned about how Radharani, you were saying that how difficult was Krishna to give his, because you got and he doesn't want to give so easily. And then he said, just imagine how hard it is for Radharani to give hers. Now I read you kind of like the opposite, and she's Hara, Mother Hara, that her mercy is very...
Yeah, she's Karuna Mayi.
She's easier to get.
Mercy shall give.
Through her to get to Krishna.
And how, and what is the proof that you receive Radharani's mercy? What is the proof that you receive? Yeah, now I can answer my own question. The proof that we receive Radharani's mercy, that she will take your heart, and she will take your heart in her hand, in her hands, in her very delicate, beautiful hands. She will take her heart, and she will put your heart at the feet of a Vaishnava. And then that Vaishnava will teach you the secrets of Bhajan, Bhajan Rahasyam, by which you can attain the heart of Srimati Radharani. So this is how the synthesis of what I'm saying and what you're understanding. You can follow?
Yes.
You understand. Heart is one thing, mercy is one thing, and heart is another thing. You come to me, you want money. I take money. But my heart, oh no, wait a minute. You want this? Take the cloth. Take it. So, all that, I'm giving mercy, I'm suffering, give me peace, give me bhakti, give me devotion, give me guru, whatever. She'll give. But then when you're talking about heart, you're talking about Madanakya Mahabhav. Madanakya Mahabhav. Just up. That's the heart of Radharani. And that is very tightly locked. Very tightly locked. Kripa karo, kripa dayamai, mercy. This is something in the outer office. The outer office is dispensing this commodity. She's Karuna Mayi, no doubt. But the expression of a Karuna Mayi is walking on the face of the earth as the Vaishnava or the Vaishnavi. That's why you say Sri Guru. Sri Guru is a representative of Srimati Radharani, Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Srimati Radhika, the Sri Guru. And we all know these things. Our own Prabhupada was writing that in the purport of the Adi Leela and Chaitanya Charitamrita in New York, 1966. These are his notes that he made in Radha-Damodar. He was doing verse-by-verse translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1961 or 59 or something. You can read in this book called Pioneer Days, the old Back to Godhead magazine, or not magazine, newspaper called Back to Godhead in English, 1944 it was started. Prabhupada was writing a verse-by-verse translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so then he finished in 1975 and published, as everyone knows. But in the Adi Leela, which he did in 1959 or whenever it was, in Radha Damodar, he's writing in a purport. One should understand that the spiritual master is a representative of either Srimati Radharani or Lord Nityananda. Everyone must have seen that purport. This is way back when. So we're like, new bhaktis, oh, it's okay. I read that so many times, I never thought, I just thought, oh, Prabhupada is Prabhupada. I mean, so there's oceans and oceans of mercy there. So, I'll read on. Radharani is, that's why we're all gathered here to get that mercy of Radharani. This is her month and her place and her devotees. And so we're hoping that, because Krishna is a little bit too much absorbed in just tasting Ras, he's so intoxicated, he can't even see or walk straight or see straight. Somebody's knocking on his door, calling his name, and said, did you hear anything? I don't know. Intoxicated man, he can't hear, can't see. He's totally intoxicated by the loving service of Radharani and the Braja Gopis and the Brajavasis. He's totally intoxicated. So if we put our prayer to Krishna, you won't see intoxicated man, can't see and can't hear, can't walk a straight line. So we petition Radharani, especially in this month. But so I'll just read a little more. In Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave all the Gaudiya Vedanta Tattva Siddhanta, the conclusive truths on the Jiva, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva, Nam Tattva, Bhagavat Tattva, Vaishnava Tattva, Rasa Tattva. He explained all the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a very exciting way, fresh and interesting way, with archetypal characters, Sannyasi Thakur, right? Sannyasi Thakur, and then the Brahmins, and then the shaktas, and there's so many wonderful personalities are there. But Jayadana doesn't show Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own mood, his own bhav. What was his bhav? How personally did he do bhajan? However, in Bhajan Rahasyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals his personal method of bhajan. It's secret. It's very deep and confidential. Therefore, it's called Rahasya, which means those things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take rest at 10 o'clock at night. Sounds like the rest of us, about average. But now there's some difference here. He would rise at 12, 2 hours later. And that's not only one night in a year, that's every night. And he would start chanting japa of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, absorbed in the bhava of remembering Radha Krishna's Astakalya Leela, and specifically Nisha Leela. Nisha Leela, 12 o'clock, is just, they're on the banks of Radhakund, they're walking there, the moon is, on the banks, couldn't be, they have rasa at night here also, but on the banks of Yamuna, moon is rising, is about to embark in a rasa dance. Completely forgetting his external identity, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if that's too much, maybe you can adjust. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would absorb his mind and heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would absorb his mind and heart in his internal, eternal identity as Kamala Mandri. He would pass the entire night from 12 o'clock until sunrise, from Nisha Leela to Nishant Leela to Pratak Leela. Right? Three different leelas. He would just chant the Naam, the holy name of Krishna, while meditating on these three astakas, these kalas, these three periods of time, as Kamala Mandri, and rendering so many services. While reflecting, while Bhaktivinoda Thakur was reflecting, thinking about, contemplating, meditating on the verses of Shikshastakam, he would remember different verses from the scriptures, verses from Bhagavatam, verses from the Goswami's writings, Radharas Sudamidhi, Stavamala, Stavavali, verses from Bhagavad Gita, there's a couple of verses, and verses from Padma Puran, other Puranas. He would remember these verses. And then he would write down his realizations. And his realizations at midnight and at 1 o'clock, as Kamala Mandri, internally he was absorbed, and then he's thinking of the Shikshastakam sometimes in external consciousness. It's like bio consciousness, as they say, external, internal consciousness. Then he would start writing. And there's a small anecdote that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once confided in his dear disciple, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, Niti Leela Pradisham, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, who was a sannyas guru of our Srila Prabhupada. And he told him, he said, actually, I want to tell you something about my father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, when I was a young boy, I used to see my father doing bhajan. He was chanting all night with tear-filled eyes until 6 a.m. in the morning. He was absorbed fully as Radhika's eternal maidservant, her kinkari, i.e. Nanda Tanusha Kinkaram. Sometimes at 2 a.m., and listen to this, this is very, very interesting. Sometimes, Amyama, come up to the Manda. It's like Paniati or something. This is the Ganges, this is the banyan tree. We're all sitting here and by the mercy of Nityananda. So please come up. Hi, well. Welcome. He's come all the way from Australia to worship Radharani on the banks of Radhakund during Karti. And how did he learn all about this? By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Because he's Prabhupada's grandson. Is it right? And anyway, that's your humility. At any rate, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is recounting a memoir of his illustrious father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who would rise, sleep at 10, lie down at 10, rise at 12, start doing bhajan, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, now something very special would happen at 2 a.m. What would he do at 2 a.m.? Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw with his own eyes, and he told Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj, and we've heard in a simple succession this story. At 2 o'clock, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his eyes are, for 2 hours, his eyes are closed. He's sitting on his asan. He's absorbed. Sometimes he's writing something. I mean, and tears are rolling from his eyes. He's totally absorbed in Bhav. And Kinkari Bhav is a manjari, serving the beautiful, sweet pastimes of Nisha Leela, Radha and Krishna. And suddenly, at 2 a.m., he's like, explodes out of this deep meditation. Bhaktisiddhanta saw him as this young boy. Chanatkar, totally astonished. What's happening? This is my father. He's only a young boy. He doesn't think, he's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He thinks he's dad. Hey, dad, what are you doing? Dad, what's going on? He's a young boy, five, six, young boy. He's Balak, young Balak. Suddenly at 2 o'clock, he would get up from his chanting. He would enter the kitchen and start cooking puris at 2 a.m. in the morning. Why? Because he was thinking that Radha and Krishna had just finished their exuberant dancing in the Rasleela, so they must be feeling hungry. So what? Now let's think about our beloved Gurudev. He's going out at night and he's preaching from house to house, going from this Indian gentleman to another Indian gentleman, trying to convince them to take up Krishna consciousness and or also support the fledgling Krishna consciousness movement. He's going from house to house at an old age, at Nisha, during Nisha Kala, 9 o'clock at night, because these Indian pilgrims, 9 as Maharaj knows, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, Prabhupada's out preaching. And then when he would come back from preaching, what would he do? He would make some puris, and he would put some powdered sugar in the puris, and he would roll it up, and he would offer it to Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna, please take this. You must be tired from the rasa dance, because I am tired from preaching the glories of your rasa dance. I'm tired from preaching the glories of your sweet holy name and service. So you please, you must be tired from your rasa dancing also. So you please take this puri and powdered sugar and hot milk. And then Prabhupada would take the hot milk and the puri and sugar and relish that rasleela mahaprasad from the lips of Radharani and Krishna. And then take rest. So, because somehow or other when we hear this, it becomes udipan to think of our Guru Maharaj. This is a natural thing for any disciple. The Guru, we have, in science they say that the heart has four chambers. Right auricle, left auricle. Right ventricle, left ventricle. I think this is the correct anatomy, as I remember from our days of medical school. The heart has four chambers, four sections in the human heart. Some blood, the red blood goes out and the venal blood comes in. It's like this. So the disciple's heart, he must also have four chambers. In one chamber of his heart, he's doing Gaur Bhajan. In another chamber of his heart, he's doing Radha Govinda Bhajan. In another chamber of his heart, he's doing Guru Bhajan. In another chamber of his heart, he's taking care of his own personality, his persona, which is his, which Bhaktivinoda describes in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, his physical culture, his mental culture, his social culture, his Vaishnava culture. So the four chambers of our heart. So naturally, at any given time, the heart is always existing. It's always functioning. So Gaur Bhajan is always going on. Radha Krishna Bhajan is always going on. Guru Bhajan is always going on. And our personal Bhajan or development is always going on. So sometimes we're in the middle of Gaur Bhajan, and all of a sudden we're in that chamber of our heart doing Gaur Bhajan, and all of a sudden we slip into the chamber of the heart and do Guru Bhajan. Something in Gaur Bhajan reminds us of our Guru. And then we leave that chamber and we're with our Guru doing Bhajan in some particular service or meditation or reflection. This is the heart of the Vaishnava. It's a very special commodity, the Vaishnava heart. So we're supposed to keep our mind on the subject matter, but the mind is one thing, the heart is another. And this is the Vaishnava is like this. Oh, we're hearing about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We're hearing about his bhajan. How high, how deep, how perfect and beautiful. And how spontaneous and ecstatic. He's deeply absorbed in his smile. And he jumps up at 2 a.m. How ecstatic and erratic. Ecstatic and erratic. You follow my English, maybe. Of course, if you're from Russia, you probably don't know half of what I'm saying. But if you're they're totally ecstatic and full of bliss, and then you become erratic. Erratic means, well, here or there. Or what's he doing? So this young girl, Bhakti Siddhanta, or at that time we can say Bhima Prasad, this young boy named Bhima Prasad, who later became Barshabhanavi Dayitya Das, who later became Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he began as the mercy of Bhimla Devi, who was sitting so sweetly next to Jagannath in Puri outside his temple in her little mandir. And our beloved Bhaktivinoda would go there. There's a small temple of Bhimla Devi, as you must have seen there, because my friends have told me they've seen. And she has her little temple. Ekadasi Devi has her little temple. It's inside, out of our sight. But inside, on the prikama of the main temple, inside, there's a little temple of Ekadasi Devi, who was locked up on Ekadasi Day so all the Puri Vasis can eat rice on that day. This is an interesting long story. She knows very well. Vrindavan Shri, Vrindeshri, whatever. So like this. So Bhakti, this Bhima Prasad is speaking now. What's time? Time now?
4:48.
Thank you. So to finish this memoir and anecdote, so Bhaktivinoda, he was thinking that Radha and Krishna had just finished their exuberant dancing and the rasa, so they must feel hungry. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at that time, fully identifying Tanmay with the Leela, I mean, fully emerged, you know, his energy was merged with the Chit Shakti and Surab Shakti, the energy of Radha and Krishna and their Leela, his full energy, this means Tanmay, his full energy is merged and one with that, and in a mood of service, as a kindri, as a mandri, Kamala Mandri, he immediately bolted into the kitchen, ran into the kitchen to start cooking puris. Because he, as a mandri, he wanted to satisfy the divine couple with some hot puris. So this is the anecdote that was recounted by Bhakti Pragyan Kesh Maharaj, which he heard with his holy ears from the holy lips of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So this is a little bit about the background of the author and also of the type of ecstasies that are packed inside of this book. In other words, a sneak preview of the coming attractions or what makes this book, what is actually put in. This is so much ecstasy, so much ecstatic development or absorption and this erratic behavior and spontaneous devotion. This is all that's going on here. It's very, very interesting. So while chanting japa, Bhaktivinoda Thakur remained absorbed, identifying himself as Kamala Mandri. He would render different sevas under the guidance of Lalita Sakhi and Rupa Mandri. Inspired by all this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would write down the verses that arose in his heart during his ecstatic non-bhajan. In one sense, Bhajan Rahasyam and his extensive commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Shikshastakam. But in another sense, you can say this is what the book is. It's an extensive commentary on Shikshastakam. Sounds very patent and straightforward. But in another sense, it is simply the outpouring of his ecstatic heart full of bhav. As we often describe Srila Prabhupada's books, we can say, oh, Bhaktivedanta Swami's books, he's written very nice commentaries on the Bhagavad Puran. The scholar or the book reviewer might say that. He's written very authorized commentaries on the Bhagavad Puran. But for the follower or disciple, we say that Prabhupada's purports are his What did he say? His devotional ecstasies. The expression of Prabhupada's devotional ecstasies. Because then again, when were Prabhupada's purports written? When did Prabhupada begin to write the purports every night? At the beginning of Nisha Leela. Prabhupada would take rest every night at 10 o'clock or 11, and he would get up at 1 o'clock, which is right in the thick of Nisha Leela. Prabhupada was writing his purports to the Bhagavatam. His hand is writing the purport, his body is in Mayapur, or in Vrindavan, and his heart and mind are in the Rasa Leela. As a mandra, he's serving Radha and Krishna. See the connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So as the description here of Bhajan Rahasyam, in one sense, is an extensive commentary on the Shikshastakam. In the inner sense, in the ultimate sense, it is the actual ecstatic outpourings of his heart, the heart of Kamala Manjari, who is Tadatmika with the heart of Rupa Manjari, and Tadatmika with the heart of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, the way to the heart of Radharani is through the pages of Bhajan Rahasya. So this is part of the introduction. What's the time? So we'll keep reading. Is there any discussion or comment? Because I feel extremely honored to be sitting in the presence of Pujipad Sri Srimad Dhanadhar Swami, because he's my senior in every way in terms of living in Vrindavan, books and everything. So I'm very, and Radhakund Prabhu has come down from his cave to share his rasika poetry. He's a rasika, and he's sharing his rasika poetry, which is getting better and better every year. The things that he read to me last year, which were from several years, and the things he's reading now, tremendous difference. Fantastic, really wonderful, wonderful things. And I think our dog brother, Bhima, has already published the old edition, the first edition. It's kind of like we get the poetry of our Rasika when he's at the level of, you know, Nishtha, and then when he's at the level of Ruchi, then, you know, it gets sweeter and sweeter, deeper and deeper, more relishable and relishable as he goes up, and if we, hopefully we also go up in bhakti and can appreciate it more also. But definitely we're appreciating it, the increase in the mercy he's receiving from Guru and Gauranga, and returning to them by his handwriting. And incidentally, his handwriting is like the proverbial Rupa Goswami. It is like a string of pearls. It's a very beautiful handwriting. Myself, I'd rather everyone looks and says, oh yes, you really should have been a doctor, because you're studying to be a doctor and you write exactly like a doctor. No one can understand a word you've written. Except one person, and even that person sometimes has difficulty. So we're in good company with Radhakund Prabhu and Srila Dhanadhar Swami. So this is a little bit about how the book came about. If we want to attain the direct service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, actually this is a direct quotation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. If we want to attain the direct seva of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, then we must follow the Bhajan Rahasyam. That is why he made this as part of the institution. It's an institutional practice. As in ISKCON, we have an institutional practice called Mangalarti and Tulsi Puja and daily Srimad Bhagavatam class. Everyone is aware of our institutional devotional practices. Everywhere, if you go to Japan, you know, everywhere they have the Bhagavatam class. And that's the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's mission. It's one of the beautiful things is there's a wonderful morning program everywhere in the world. It's standard. So this is part of the institution. So Gaudiya Math, in the 1920s, late 20s and 30s, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he instituted Bhajan Rahasyam in every single temple as the bhajan, as the activity for the month of Kartik. They would not go out for Nagar Kirtan, they would not go out for collecting or anything. They would stay in the temple and sit in four sessions a day and go through the verses and chant the bhajans, the Astakavya bhajans, and hear about the pastimes for an entire month. He said, this is our prayojan, this is our goal, and we want everyone, and it was such a surcharge, it was such an absorbing and deep experience that 1 month would carry over for 11 more. Because after that 1 month, they would be so surcharged with philosophy, with Tattva Siddhanta, with Nila, with Ba, with Sadhusanga, and penance and everything that they did in their Kartik Vrata, that they had the strength, enthusiasm, and energy to go practice their bhajan for 11 months afterwards, and of outward preaching also, of Pandal preaching and Pandal program, all that was stopped. Every temple was just centralized with the institutional 1 month following of the bhajan rahasya. So that is why we're attempting to, this is our inaugural year Kartik and Bhajan Rahasyam. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Param Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is making such a statement, we certainly have to give us some deep attention and regard when he's saying, if one wants to attain the direct seva of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, he must follow the Bhajan Rahasyam. And I think we're unanimous in this idea that we would like to attain the direct, it's called Sakshat Seva of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. I think this is the aim and objective, at least at this time in our lives. Maybe we may become in Sakyaras or Vatsalyaras or whatever, but generally Krishna knows everything. He knows all hearts and minds, and he's arranging everything and orchestrating everything perfectly for our advancement, improvement, and our surrender. That's why we're here in this place at this time. Shri Bhajan Rahasyam Ki Jaya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jaya. I want to thank everyone very much for going to so much trouble and austerity to come here. Especially the devotees, they came, some came from Dangati, Dandi Vartankund, and from Govardhan Palace or temple, whatever. And some devotees came all the way from Vrindavan. And practically, you couldn't pay me to go down that road. And I go down that road sometimes, but I feel like it's the road to Yanapuri rather than the road to my Buddha's lotus feet. Because the road is really in bad shape, this Radhakan road now. From the rainy season, we had heavy rain, and everywhere potholes. It's terrible. Every second. Before, two years ago, you could go 20 minutes to the temple. It's like velvet. Now it's like...
It's an hour. 45 minutes to an hour.
So please forgive me if I caused any inconvenience or discomfort to any of the devotees that have come such a great distance. I can't speak very properly for all of you to understand, but I pray to Srimati Radharani, and I pray to Giri Govardhan, and our beloved Srila Prabhupada, that they will all bless you and fill your hearts with the divine service of Radha and Krishna to reward you for the great effort that you have all taken to come here. So please forgive me for any inconvenience I've caused you, and I hope we can meet again tomorrow by the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Panchaka Patruvya Jai. Hare Krishna. I think only because of it. I thought, I'm just reading this to myself. Yeah. Yeah.